Over the past 3 weeks, we've taken a good look at five different parables, and this morning we're going to take another really good look at one of the teachings that Jesus has given to us. This morning we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. And this morning's passage, it really centers and it lands on God's heart that we would be a people who pray, a people who depend on Him in prayer. Now, this morning's passage, if you were to check out what some of the different scholars have to say about it, some of them feel that it is a parable, and some of them feel that it's part of a larger teaching which Jesus is sharing. Either way, for us, we don't need to decide, is it a parable or is it not? For us, the heartbeat of this is for us to understand that God desires that we would be people who are persistently praying. And that's God's call to us, and that's where, if it's a parable or if it's not, both would take us there. As we hear about God's message, we're going to hear about how He calls us to depend on Him in every circumstance. And this passage that we're looking at this morning, if you were to back up to verses 1 to 4, you would hear how this passage connects with the Lord's Prayer, how this passage is reinforcing the teaching that Jesus gives about the Lord's Prayer. Charles Spurgeon, the famous British preacher, he told a story about how he was walking down the road one day. And as he was walking down the road, there was a man who was walking in front of him. And he started to listen to the conversation that the man was having with himself. And the man was actually, he was cursing up a storm, and he was swearing left and right. And Spurgeon, he walked a little bit faster trying to catch up with the man. And as he caught up with the man, he started to talk to the man, and he started to ask him a number of different questions. One of the questions that he asked him is, he said, can you pray as good as you can swear? And the man chuckled, and he thought that was a funny question. And the man said, I don't pray at all, so, you know, I don't know what you think of that, but... And then Spurgeon said to him, I'd like to make a deal with you. I'd like to give you this coin. And the coin was worth a considerable amount back then. And he said, I'd like to give you this coin if you will trade in your right to pray. And the man said, okay, good deal. That's I'll take you up on it. And the man kind of walked away and he kind of laughed to himself. Spurgeon went around and he did his own business, and they went their separate ways. Well, as the man was walking home, he started to think about this deal that he had just made, and he started to question if it was a good deal. He got home, and he started to tell his wife about the events of the day, and they started to talk about different things, and he came to mention this event. And his wife, she did acknowledge, she said, yeah, we're not a people who pray, but do you think one day we might like to be able to pray? Do you think there's going to be a chance that we're going to need God to give us something? And they started to debate it, and they started to discuss, was this a good deal or was it a bad deal? They came to the conclusion that they wanted this deal reversed. So they set out on a mission. They set out looking for Spurgeon. And Spurgeon, this is just what he had prayed for. He had prayed that they would come looking for him, that this would trouble them. Well, the three, they run into each other. And in the course of running into each other, they have a discussion about what prayer is. They share with Spurgeon that their understanding of what prayer is that prayer is an opportunity for where we get to go and ask God to provide and to do different things for us. Well, Spurgeon, he shares with him, he says, yep, prayer is that, but prayer is a lot more, and prayer is centered about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the course of all that, he straightens out their understanding of what prayer is, and he points them to Christ. And the two turn their hearts toward Christ, and they come to understand what it means to be a new creation. Well, the thing that they wrestled with is they had to decide, is prayer something that they needed? And they realized that they would be fools if they neglected the gift that God had given to them. They realized that they would be fools if they neglected a lot of other things that God had given to them. Well, the same is true for us. We would be fools if we neglected this great gift that God has given to us in the ability to talk to Him in prayer. Starting next week, we're going to take a deeper look at looking at the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is an incredible prayer where Jesus shares with us some of the things that God loves to hear us have to say to Him. This morning, though, our focus is on God's desire that we would be a people who persistently pray. We would be a people who understand how powerful prayer is. So before we go any farther, let's spend some time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning, we come to You and we ask that You would stir in our hearts a new commitment, a new understanding of Your heart to hear from us. I pray that we would be a people who depend on You in every circumstance, that we would come to You, we would humble ourselves, that we would take a knee and pray, that we would look to You as the ultimate source for all of our needs. This morning, I thank You for this gift that You've given to us, and I pray that we would be good stewards of it. Amen. This week, I was monkeying around with our computer in the church office here, and I was getting to some roadblocks. I'm usually pretty good at trying to fix some of the things that go wrong with the computer. And I just got to a point where I couldn't fix the computer. So I got on the phone and I called up Klaus and I'd asked him, could you help me fix this? I kind of thought maybe he'd have me drop the computer off at his shop. And he said, well, here, let's do this. He said, are you online? And I said, yep, I'm online right now. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this, 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 and this. Well, I did all the things that he asked me to do. And pretty soon, what I had done was I had released control of the computer to him, and he was controlling it from remote, from far away, because we had an internet connection. As he took control of the computer, he began to like move the mouse around on the screen, and all I had to do was just sit back and put my feet up on the desk and kick back and watch him at work as he was trying to fix the computer. Well, he changed the number of the settings, he moved some things around, and after, I don't know, 20 minutes, he had it working the way that I wanted it to work. As I thought about this week, I thought about that's kind of what prayer looks like. Prayer is us releasing ourselves and saying, hey God, this is beyond me. I want you to take control of this situation. Now, our prayer life should be more than just us coming to God and sharing with Him, this is what I need. This is the thing that's before me that I can't figure out. Our prayer life should be a much better balanced thing than that. And our prayer life should be, you know, a time where we get to confess to God the things that we've done wrong, the places where we've sinned, the places where we've failed to follow after Him. Our prayer life should be us thanking God for the many blessings that He's given to us. Our prayer life should be us acknowledging who God is and the greatness of who He is. Our prayer life is also us asking God to provide for us and to meet different needs. As I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how that fits into what we're looking at this morning, I don't know if you're familiar with the acronym for the word ACTS. ACTS is a great word to help remember what to pray for. ACTS: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Those four things are a great base for us to be thinking about what to pray for. And God answers prayers, and often when He answers our prayers, He does it in ways that don't make sense to us. He does it in ways that surprise us. Well, this morning we're studying Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll invite you to go and to look there. And as we read it, we're going to kind of pause along the way and kind of just make a couple observations. Let's read it. Then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine was on a journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. And then Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. In this part of the passage, one of my interesting observations that I found was that Jesus, he commends the men who go and knock at the door, and he commends them because they were bold and because they were persistent and because they weren't ashamed to ask for help. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how all too often we get ashamed to ask for help. I know in my own nature that I would rather try to fix a problem on my own than go to somebody else for help. But we let things like self-reliance or pride or our sense of independence get in the way of us asking each other for help, but more importantly, of us asking God for help. Let's go back to the passage. Jesus says this. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Here in this part of the passage, one of the interesting things that grabbed me was how much importance Jesus places on the one who asks. Then Jesus goes on and he makes an absolute statement. He says that if you ask, you will be heard. And then after that, we hear how Jesus continues to say how great our Heavenly Father is and how He wants nothing but goodness for us. Well, let's go to the last part of our passage this morning. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It was that last part of the passage that was kind of a tricky part for me to hear. And I had to think about it. I had to realize that Jesus uses exaggeration to make his point. He wants us to know that we are not the model standard for what good is. He wants us to know that our Heavenly Father is the ultimate understanding for what good is. So when we think about all the good things that we have on this earth, all the good things that we've done, or all the good things that people have done, that's not really what good is. That might just be what nice is. The things that God has done for us, that is what good is. Jesus goes on and he explains that no good parent would give their child something that would harm them. They would give things that would help them grow. And Jesus makes us know that we do many good things. And the things that we do that we think are good, we do them, yeah, but we're sinners as we do them. He wants us to know that our Heavenly Father, who is holy, the good things that He does greatly surpass the good things that we do. So as we understand who God is, we have to understand how good our Heavenly Father is. Another thing that Jesus is illustrating in this passage is that we are called to be people who are constantly and persistently going to God in prayer. He says it's those who ask, who seek, and who knock, who will receive, who will find, and will have doors opened. This morning, there's one question that I hope that we address. It's the question, why can I be confident that I should be a person who persistently prays? Well, we just looked at the first answer, and the first answer is that Jesus calls us to have this attitude. This is what he asks us to adopt. We might want to hesitate to pray. We might think that we're being nags or that God is too busy to hear all of our prayers. But that's the intimate relationship that God wants for us. Essentially, we could pray 24/7, all the time, every day, every month, all the time, every year, and that would never be too much for Jesus to handle. There's another interesting point in this passage that I think is important for us to bring out. In this passage, Jesus uses a number of illustrations to help us understand what he's trying to say to us. And in those illustrations, each one contains the figure of a father. Well, if we were to back up to verses 1 to 4 where we hear the Lord's Prayer, in the Lord's Prayer we know that the beginning of it is, "Our Father who art in heaven." I think it's important that we understand that this passage is trying to teach us to understand who our Heavenly Father is and the prayer life that He wants for us. Let's take a look at the passage that we just studied. Let's take a look at this story of this friend who's visiting and passing through. In this story, we find that it's really about three friends. It's the story of the guy who was traveling along the road. Then it's the story of the first house that we encounter. It's that guy that opens the door. And then it's thirdly about the guy who opens the door but says he's too tired to really want to help. Now, the friend who actually knocked on the door, he actually wasn't being rude. We might think that he was being rude for doing what he did. But according to the custom of the day, this man had done nothing wrong. The custom of the day said that you could go and you could ask somebody for anything that you needed and that they would want to give it to you, that they would want to provide for you. And that's because the Jewish people, they highly valued hospitality. So by the standard of the land, this man was not being rude. And it's that same standard that motivated the first homeowner to want to go to the other home to help meet this guy's needs. Now the persistent man, he was actually being resourceful for his guest. He had used all of the bread that was in his house. He probably had some more that was getting prepared to be baked for the next day, but he had none ready. So what does he do? He goes out and he goes to his other friend's house and he goes to ask him if he can help meet his traveling friend's needs. Well, then he gets to that door and he finds that he's got this guy that answers the door who's sleepy and he just wants to go back to bed and he wants to decline this guy's request because he doesn't want to wake his children up. His children were told that they were in bed with him and his wife and he doesn't want to disturb them. We see here what he values. He values the sleep of his children over the hungry belly of somebody who needed food. Well, Jesus goes on and he alludes that this man finally gave in and he gave him some bread. But the motivation for why he gave him the bread wasn't because he loved the man, because he wanted to care for him. The motivation was because he didn't want to have his family awoken. He didn't want to have his neighbors awoken and hear that this guy was being kind of selfish and not willing to give. This guy's motivation was just to give up and to just want to like relent and just say, "Stop bothering me." That's what motivated him. It wasn't him being a good friend. In this passage, there's some great things we can learn about the type of giver that God is. We learn that God is always willing to give. We learn also this. The man who made his request, he made a small request for food. We know this about God, that when we make a request, there is no limit on the size that God takes for a request. God is willing and capable of handling any request that we can make to him. We learn also this, that God never sleeps, so we don't have to worry about bothering him. This is a picture for us to see how God is and how good he is. So when we ask God if he would intercede for us, if he would help us in different situations, We need to know that He wants to do that and that He's going to answer us immeasurably more than we can fathom. Know also this about God, is that God doesn't answer us to get rid of us. He answers our prayers out of His love for us. So know that when you approach His throne, that you can do it with confidence because God hears you and He loves to answer your requests. And when God answers our requests, He does it according to His will. So it's important for us to know that God wants to answer our requests and He's going to do it in His will according to His plans. And He will provide for us everything that we ask. And that's important for us to understand that as well. There's another thing that I think is interesting in this passage. It's the phrase ask, seek, and knock. We would typically think that the word ask fits into a conversation about asking God to provide and into a conversation about prayer. We might not think the word seek and knock find as well, that they fit into that same conversation about prayer. I think they do. And the word seek fits because the word seek is actually kind of turning up the heat on the word ask. It's kind of like accelerating that. And so is the word knock. And that fits with Jesus' understanding, Jesus' teaching on that we should have an unrelenting dependence upon Him to meet our needs. So when we think about the word ask, think about the word seek as it's turning up the heat, and the word knock is turning up the intensity as well. And that's the type of relationship that Jesus wants us to have with Him. This passage is also a lesson for us about humility. Because in this passage, we get to see where we fit into the things with God. It's God that provides for us, not us. So we have to remember that God is the one that's going to take care of our needs. This parable, it also reminds us that God is faithful to hear our prayers. And that's the second answer to the question. It's that God is faithful to hear our prayers. Well, let's go take a look at the rest of the examples that Jesus sets before us. He says this. He says, which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now Matthew's telling of this parable, of this story, is identical to this, with the exception he swaps a stone for the egg. When we compare the two, we find out that the point is still the same. The point is that a good father would not be mean, would not try to trick his kids and give them things that resemble goodness but are actually bad. So we find out this, that if a responsible father would supply his kids' needs, how much greater is the love that God has for us to always supply our needs? So the third answer to the question is, why can I be confident to pray persistently? Is that God wants to meet our needs. Know that this morning, that God wants to meet our needs. As I was thinking about this passage, there was a number of like random thoughts that popped into my head that don't come out of this passage, but they definitely help this passage, help us understand what God desires for us. And I'd like to share some of those with you right now. God makes a promise to us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He makes it perfectly clear to us that nothing can separate us from God. As I thought about that, I had to ask myself this question. What keeps us together? Well, one of the essential things that keeps us together with our relationship with God is prayer. Prayer is an essential connecting point between us and between our Heavenly Father. And it's one of many that keep us connected with Him. Here's another random thought about prayer. If you're thinking like your prayer, the prayer that you offer to God, doesn't make any sense to you, know this. Know that our Heavenly Father makes complete sense out of it. Here's another random thought. I shared earlier the word ACTS is an acronym. Let me share this word for you. It's the word PUSH. If you struggle in remembering to pray, if maybe that's the thing that keeps you from having a good prayer life, the word PUSH, maybe write that down somewhere. Pray until something happens. It's a phrase that connects with what God is teaching us here, that we should be persistent prayers. Here's another random thought. It's a quick quote from Martin Luther. One night he's having dinner, and as he's having dinner, his dog is sitting right at his feet watching him eat. And as his dog stares up at him to look at the meal that Martin Luther is eating, the dog is intent that he wants a piece of the meat that's on Martin Luther's plate. Well, Martin Luther, he said this to his dog. He said, oh, If I could only pray the way my dog watches the meat. He realized that all of the dog's thoughts were on that piece of meat. Maybe that's something that helps us think about what our prayer life should be like. Let's be a people. Let's be a church who pray. Think of all the different things that we can be in prayer for our friends, for our friends' salvation, for our family members, for the lost, for those who have little or nothing, for the opportunities to be a witness and a light to this world. Maybe we can be praying for opportunities for forgiveness to be the thing that happens. We can pray for hearts to be softened. We can pray for right relationships to exist between each other. There's so many things that we can be in prayer for. So let's remember to pray and to always be on our knees before our Heavenly Father. This morning, we've heard that God desires that we would pray and that we would do it persistently. We need not worry about being nags. We need not fear being heard. We need not worry about what the outcome is. We need simply to trust that God will bring a resolution to our situation. He loves us, and He desires to do the best for us inside of His will and His plans. And the hardest thing for me to understand inside of that is that God's plans are better than mine. I struggle with that. Sometimes my prayer to God, it's like, God, would you bring this solution that I have planned out for you forward? That's not the prayer that I should offer to Him. I should pray that God would just provide and that He would meet the needs and that He would lead in the situation that I'm offering to Him. Know also this, that the timing of God's answers to our questions, they might be different than our expectations. So as we wait for God to bring the answer to us, let's be in prayer. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching us for us to do. Last thing to mention and to remind us is this. Is this morning we've talked about the type of giver that God is. We've talked about how God wants to give us answers to all the deepest things that are going on in our hearts. So as you think about that, think about the things and the issues that you're struggling with. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe there's a situation. Maybe you're wrestling with what's God's will for my life? Or maybe there's a friendship that needs reconciliation. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you. God has given us this promise that we can go to Him. So let's go to Him with those situations and let's pray about those things. Know that you can approach God's throne with confidence and that He will bring an answer to our situations and to our lives. Know that God wants to hear from us daily about so many things and He wants to be in touch with us regularly. As we close this morning's message, there's one thing that I'd like to do as we close. I'd like to give us an opportunity to pray, to quiet our hearts, and to talk to God and to share with Him some of the things that are upon our hearts. So for the next few moments, it'll just be quiet in this room. Let's talk to God. Let's share with Him the things that are going on inside of us. And after a few moments, I'll just close our prayer time out. So let's do that now.